Hey, this is Matt Cain with the San Francisco Giants, and you guys are listening to Torture Cast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants with hosts Willie Dills, Chad King, and Ben Lee.
Let's go, Giants! Let's go, Giants!
Dedicated to the greatest team in Major League Baseball history, the San Francisco Giants, this is Torture Cast.
Welcome, everybody, to the Torture Cast, the podcast by and for fans of your San Francisco Giants. I'm going to be hosting tonight with Ben. Ben,
Yarg.
I think, is online. Yeah, Yarg. Pirate Ben.
Yarg.
How are you tonight, buddy?
Yarg might be a good word for it, actually. But, I can't say that baseball has been bringing me down lately. That's for sure.
No. It's been a pretty good set of weeks here for the Giants.
It's doing me a lot of favors mood-wise. I'm not going to lie. I'm actually, I'm feeling better about myself, and that's not true. But, if you're talking Giants-wise, I'm doing great. I mean, it's been so much more fun to watch this team right now than it was for about, two straight months.
Yeah, it feels really good. They obviously had a great month of August, had some incredible performances, which we're going to get into. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to start off the show by saying no matter how well they have been playing, there have been a couple of, unfortunate spots. One is the Dodgers keep winning, unfortunately. Pretty much the same clip as the Giants, because they got a little closer. Now they're starting to fade just kind of, a couple games here. But also that Colorado series, I think, really was just, it was kind of, it was a microcosm
really
of the entire year against the Rockies. And, we're going to jump all over the notes here. But one thing that I'm just really disappointed in this year is the Giants went 9-10 against the worst team in the National League. And
I mean, the Rockies have been pretty colossally bad.
Colossally bad. I mean, they are really, really bad team. And the funny thing is the Giants actually played them better earlier in the year when the Rockies were actually...
When they were good.
Yeah, when they were good. And
right.
Everyone said, hey,
they were very good.
When Marty Lurie said, I think the Rockies are going to be in it till the end. And I have to admit, even I was kind of chuckling then because, that's one time ever.
Shake your head out a little bit. But at the same time, I don't think, by default, you don't start by assuming that Troy Tulowitzki is going to break himself.
No.
You do start by assuming that Charlie Blackman will come back down to earth.
Yeah.
But
they lost a ton of people. There's no doubt that the injuries definitely killed their year. But the Giants actually played them better when they had those guys earlier in the year. And, the turning point in the Giants season, if they don't make the playoffs, I think it really is that game we were at when they just lay the colossal egg against the Rockies, that first of three that they lost in horrific fashion.
Right.
With the Sergio Romo blown save.
We were
and the
just
next
like,
night,
man, this
save.
Is a really rough game, but they've been doing well, and it just embarked us upon 2 months of crying and
yeah, that really was the catalyst for it. But
more crying.
But that's okay. The Giants are still in it to win it. 2012, our catcher comes out of, being comeback player of the year after his horrific injury in 2011, after winning the World Series and Rookie of the Year in 2010. And what does he do? He puts together that MVP push over the last 6 weeks of the season, which propelled the Giants into the playoffs and just continued into the playoffs. And, of course, Buster Posey won the MVP that year. This year, everybody's been saying, it's mediocre Buster Posey. Is this the Buster Posey that we can come to expect from year to year, which, hey, it's above average for a catcher.
I was going to say, until recently.
But, it's like, okay, he's hitting 280. He's got 13, 14 bombs and like 60 RBI. Okay. Yeah, it's better than average. Maybe it's a little bit down here.
Certainly more than we were hoping for out of, say, Guillermo Quiroz.
Yeah. Or
look at anything that Posey does, just think and
Sanchez.
Now, if Guillermo Quiroz did this, what would I think?
Yeah,
when talking about replacement level.
What's a war on that? -3 or something? I'm just...
On Guillermo Quiroz? Or...
Yeah.
This year, the Giants are 0 for Guillermo Quiroz.
Yeah, I don't even think the war is 0. I think it's actually a negative. But he did find his his Superman cape, his MV Posey cape, and he has donned that that article of clothing over the last, what, 16, 17, 18 games? Basically,
it's hard for me to not have you say article of clothing and not think of Aubrey Huff, and I don't really want to talk about that any more than I just did, if I can possibly help it.
Conjures up images of that article of clothing and Bud Light and...
Dear four people watching, I'm sorry I had to do that.
Yeah.
I'm not really sorry.
No, we're not really sorry. But he's just absolutely pushed the Giants over the top over the last 6 weeks and has put them into contention again in the NL West. As we're sitting here tonight, I think the Dodgers were about to win or did win. That does push them back to 3.5 games, which is unfortunate because they did close the gap earlier this week to just 2 games. And for a few fleeting hours, they were actually 1.5 games behind in between games when they won in Detroit and then LA won later in the night. But really, Buster Posey has been the catalyst for this. He has been hot. Not only did he win NL Player of the Week this week, which, by the way, he hit 565 and had 5 multi-hit games.
That's insane.
That's crazy. But even what's crazier is 512 over his last 10 games and 493 over his last 16. And he's raised his average almost 30 points in the span of, 16, 17 games in August and September. That's unheard of. I mean, you have to hit 500 or higher to raise your average 30 points this late in the year. He has just been tremendous. Mm-hmm. He's, crossed the 20 home run threshold. He's almost at 80 RBI. And a lot of people are putting him back into the NL MVP conversation. And being the objective person I'm trying to be, which is not very often, I look at it and I say...
Wait, did you just call yourself objective?
Yeah, which
that's
is...
Sometimes.
Wait a minute, we have a podcast by fans and for fans, so that's kind of contradictory in nature.
Right.
But I would say, of course, maybe second half MVP in the NL or something close to that. But when you look at the entire year, he just, unless he continues this tear over the last 19 games, because that's all they have, by the way. They only have 19 more games. He just doesn't have the numbers to seriously be considered, in my opinion, for NL MVP. Just because he's going to finish probably with less than 25 home runs, less than 100 RBI. And even if he captures the batting title, which he's only, I think, 7 points behind Morneau right now. He's sitting fifth at 309. He would have to do something pretty dramatic game after game after game down the stretch to push the Giants. I would say it would require him to be superhuman over the last 19 games and to win the West for him to be under serious consideration.
So you're saying there's a chance.
So I'm saying there's a chance.
I don't see Posey as having an MVP season this year, but at the same time, we've been surprised before. So why not? He's still totally ridiculous, but he would have to continue playing pretty much at this exact clip that he is at. And that is something that I don't know if we're expecting or not. It really does depend on the rest of the lineup a bit.
Mm-hmm.
When Posey is the only threat in the lineup, he does not see nearly as much opportunity to be a threat in the lineup. When you have guys in front and behind him firing like Pence and Panic and sometimes Pagan, you really have an opportunity for him to go, okay, well, then they've got other people to worry about, so they aren't just going to start pulling a Barry Bonds on me or anything like that. I think that it's, we're in a spot right now where if the team is going to go, it's not just going to be because of Buster, but it is going to be because of Buster. If the team is going to go, though, it's going to be because everybody has done a good job, and that is something that we've actually seen pretty well this year, which has been really nice. There's a lot of shared responsibility this month. Different guys at different nights. I mean, Travis Ishikawa is doing well, which I'm frankly excited by. I mean...
No, this is the feeling.
We've talked about this before, that I really like Travis Ishikawa, but the fact remains that, he's have a season. I mean, he's hitting .304 with the Giants right now, and that's in 33 games.
Yeah,
you know?
So it's a decent sample size, but you're right.
Well,
you look
okay, 49 plate attempts, but still.
Okay, but for the...
Not that decent.
For the person...
304, man. 304.
Yeah, the player he's going to be in terms of utility. He's never going to have 500 at-bats, so as far as...
No, but he's already... He's got
20
total bases. 20 total bases. Adam Duvall has 21 total bases, and he has half again as many plate attempts as Travis Ishikawa does.
Right.
Travis Ishikawa, man. Instant honorary... All right, I'll calm down now.
Going a little T.I. crazy, man. That's what we started calling him, T.I.
Really? That just brings all kinds of other exciting things into it. Just start the T.I. clips in the background.
Rappers and Treasure Island in Vegas.
Or better yet, don't do it.
Not so good.
Really? I have never once called that T.I.
Well, that's what they call themselves.
That's probably why I've
they have that big sign really in Vegas, avoided going and it's there. Literally, it's all like, they're trying to be hip, right? Instead of Treasure Island.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's T.I. It's like, too much information for what? Treasure Island. Oh, yeah.
That's welcome to Travis stupid. Ishikawa, the casino. I'm sorry, what? Did you
tits in
what
here.
Would a, what would a...
That was bad.
There's no H.
Yeah, well, that's the little H that you don't see.
What exactly would be in a Travis Ishikawa casino, I wonder? I don't know, but all the slot machines are left-handed.
Left-handed yes. slot machines. I think that's where you got to go.
It's got a lefties sports emporium in the forum, just like Caesar's Palace.
All the booths are configured that way. All right, so
we sell left-handed gloves.
Speaking of Giants,
congratulations! You've won a left-handed token of appreciation.
Madison Bumgarner also secured the National League Pitcher of the Month for August, and he had, I think,
a left-handed pitcher of the month.
That's right, the left-handed pitcher of the month for the team.
It was sad because that worked. I was really hoping I was just going to run that joke into the ground, but I actually said it correctly.
It did. You did run it into the ground. It crashed and burned quite hot. Let's move on.
What hot? Are we talking about Posey?
usually I'm the one drinking, but I think you might be drinking the punch tonight. Bumgarner, 1.97 ERA for the month, which is crazy. That's still higher than Kershaw's ERA for the year.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But what's really incredible about Bumgarner is he's obviously their ace this year. He's won Pitcher of the Month again. He's not, going to win Cy Young this year. I think we know that race is completely over. And, yeah, in fact, the MVP might go to Kershaw as well at this point.
Which is surprising. I mean, it takes a lot for a pitcher to be able to earn that kind
of... But he's having that superhuman type of year where you had guys in the past, pitchers, win the MVP, including guys like Eckersley. And others.
That was an interesting...
A really interesting one. Yeah, a reliever winning it. So I think he's out of the consideration for that. But what he can be in... consideration for is leading the National League in wins. Now, I know Kershaw did win his 18th tonight, so he's back one behind him. But
it's essentially he just sort of said, "Your move, Madison."
Pretty much. But they have a few games left.
More twang than that, probably.
So Madison, I guess he does technically have a chance to win 20 this year with 19 games left. Correct? Doesn't he have three more starts at least? That would make sense.
He's got to have at least three.
Might have four. So he does have a shot at getting 20, which would be pretty incredible. When was the last pitcher that won 20? Is that like Billy Swift? Is it that long ago? I didn't even look it up. Giants. I want to say it's Billy Swift. 93-ish.
I guess I'm looking it up.
Why, thank you, Ben.
I'm already logged into Baseball Reference. It's fine.
Well, I think we all know that 20 game winners was kind of the benchmark back in the 80s and maybe the 90s. It is hovering around 16. It's changed so drastically. Not only fewer starts per year, but now more frequent use of the bullpen earlier. You just have fewer opportunities for those starters to actually get the extra couple of wins they needed to get to 20. So now an incredible year is 18 wins. That's like, oh my God, he's in Cy Young consideration. When 18 back in the 80s was like, he was 12th in the league of wins.
He's very good, but is he great?
He only won 18. I mean,
does he have 25 wins?
I mean, he started.
Did we leave
40...
him in for eight innings?
He started 40 games. He only won 18, and that's not very good.
It's a good thing this 4-man rotation isn't run too ragged. Let's see.
None of the recent Giants have won 20 games. That's for sure. Timmy hasn't. Kane hasn't. Bum hasn't.
That's
I do want to say Billy Swift.
Yeah.
And that's what it is.
Well, let's see if I can figure it out here. No, that's the most wins. How about sort by year?
Yeah, it's not something that's probably easily looked
20, up. 20, 20, 20. I mean, I could have probably filtered this an entirely different way instead of putting myself through what I'm doing.
We need Andrew
Bagley. Sean Estes did have 19 in 97.
That's right.
John Burkett.
Oh, Burkett 93. And Swift. Okay, it's Burkett and Swift. 93. They both
Burkett and Swifty together in 93, 21 and 22.
There you go. Okay.
21 for Swift, 22 for Burkett.
That's right. They both got them.
And then the next year, Burkett had 6.
Yeah.
Because so it was 94.
So 21 years ago was the last time a Giant had won 20 games. So he has a shot this year.
Good grief.
We'll see what happens.
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
So, yeah. In fairness, the first thing that it did here is highlight that Madison Bumgarner has 17 for me on the first row. So that's exciting.
It is. I mean, he's the opposite of Matt Cain. He definitely has been getting the run support and supporting the runs himself. So
I was going to say, in the last 3 years, the highest totals, Madison Bumgarner at 17, Madison Bumgarner at 16, Matt Cain at 16, and then Barry Zito at 15.
Yeah, that was that odd.
That was 2012, mm-hmm. though. That was 2012. That's really all I can say about it is, oh, so that was 2012, and
Barry Zito had 15 wins. Do you need to know anything else?
Santiago Casilla had 7 wins. So Gene Machi's got 6 this year, almost as many as Ryan Vogelsong.
Yeah, but Machi started off with 5, like after the first month of the season. Remember?
Right.
That?
No, that was great. It was just we were just waiting to see if Machi and Kershaw would go neck and neck for wins over the year.
Yeah, he was leading the league in wins at 5, like in May.
Right. He just had so many more opportunities to get them.
That was pretty cool.
kept life interesting.
Definitely. So that series in Detroit was entertaining. I got to watch most of the first 2 games. I didn't see the 3rd one, and so that was the right one to not watch. But going in, it kind of felt a little bit like the World Series again, not mm-hmm. with the number of prognosticators out there, but the Tigers were favored in all 3 games. Of course, being at home and having a similar or slightly better record than the Giants going in.
Well, I mean, they haven't been playing nearly as well, but they've been playing okay.
Yeah, they've been playing okay, it did have that same feel like, oh, you know, with the big boppers, the Giants might be overmatched a little bit. It's like, nope, not at all. No problem. Took care of the first 2 games. Easy. So, I mean, securing that series win right away, it's just such a good feeling as a fan going, well, even if they lose the 3rd game, taking 2 out of 3 in Detroit and beating David Price is pretty sweet. But then Miguel Cabrera decided to get hot in the last 2 games there.
Right, like, you know, 4 bombs, 5 for 10. And that was just partway through the 3rd game. I mean,
yeah, I do like everybody joking after he hit that slider off of Romo into left field. You know, 2 years
it
too
was
late.
Like about, you know, right. I may have said that once or twice. Yeah, not gonna lie.
It's like, well, I think all Giants fans were thinking that was a distinct possibility during that at bat in the World Series. It's like we got a 1-run lead. There's 2 outs. Yeah, he could tie this really easily. And got him. So. That was the right time to give it up, Romo. Didn't give up the World Series, so thank you.
Right. Good job waiting until 2 years later. Strongly approved.
Good job.
Good job, Serge. Good job.
But speaking of bum, it was, you know, David Price and Madison Bumgarner. It was, you know, flaunted as being a marquee match. Yeah, Nassoff, a marquee matchup between 2 of the best lefties in the league, blah, blah, blah. And what happens?
Let's see which one can trip over himself sooner.
I have to admit, you know, as a Tigers fan, I would have been pulling my hair out in that first inning. He gets the first 2 guys out.
Oh, man.
And then it was like 6 consecutive 2-out hits. It was insane. It was like Posey and Pence and Pablo. And it was just like clunk, 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 clunk. And then even Arias got in the act and Susak. And that was just, who are these guys? And suddenly they got put 4 runs on the board with 2 outs and no one on. So that was pretty sweet. So then you're thinking, all right, the Giants got a nice, you know, control of this game with their ace going. It's 4-2, just like that, because of Mr. Cabrera. And then,
whoops, I looked away for 1 second, you guys. 1 second.
Yeah, I liked one of the announcers.
I glanced away for 1 second, and you're up 4-0 on David Price. Is this what you want?
I was watching live when they did score all those runs, which was really fun. And then I went over to go wash some dishes or something, and then my phone beeped, and it was all 4-2. And I was like, what?
I think I was at work, and I just like kept looking at my phone going, wait, what? Wait.
Yeah, so they said, and that happened with 1 out in the bottom of the first. So after 4 outs were recorded in the game, 6 runs had already scored. It's just like, huh?
Like, wait.
What happened to this matchup we were talking about?
I don't remember. Is this how aces work nowadays? Yeah. I realize baseball is a little different now, but.
And then, Victor Martinez hit one in the 3rd, and suddenly it was 4-3, and it was like, oh, it's going to be one of those games, huh? And it's crazy that David Price ended up actually pitching 8 2/3 innings that game after giving up 4 in the first. So kudos to him for actually kind of riding the ship and pretty much shutting the Giants down after that.
Price is the kind of guy that can do that. But.
Yeah, absolutely. You had Buster Posey that took him deep later, which proved to be the difference in the game because, you know, Romo gave one up to Cabrera later, his 2nd of that game. But they still hung on for that 5-4 win. And then the last start, you know, Huddy, look, he's definitely outperformed my expectations of him this year. And I think most Giants fans' expectations. He's, you know, in Atlanta the last couple of years, he's been hovering around a 4-something ERA. You know, maybe high 3s, low 4s, kind of around that ballpark. And right now, I think he's at a 3-1 or 3-2 right now. So he's only got a few more starts left. So chances are he's going to finish up with a better ERA and WHIP than his last several years in Atlanta. So that speaks volumes right there, because the Giants obviously signed him expecting him to generate the same numbers or maybe just a little bit better because it's a pitcher's park.
I mean, I think they were probably aiming for about the same numbers too, because, you know,
you can't say, well, if he had a 4 ERA in Atlanta, he's got to have a 3-5 ERA.
I mean, you know, we're also talking about like coming off an ankle injury and some other things. Like everybody had the suspicion that Hudson would still be pretty good. Yeah. I don't know that anybody knew it.
No.
Because, you know, you're never, like, everybody seemed optimistic. You know, he had thrown and people had seen him and he seemed good. But you kind of go, well, we'll see about how things go once we get into the real world. And as it turned out, fine.
Fine.
Just, everything turned out fine.
Do it.
He's just fine. He's totally fine. I mean, I definitely wasn't expecting Hudson to be as good as he's been. I was expecting him to be good. I was expecting that he was going to fit very nicely into the rotation. But I mean, you know, in his starts, the Giants are like 17 and 18 and 10 now. 18 and 10? 17 and 11? It's something ridiculous. Like
something like that.
Yeah, the Giants are doing just a heck of a job. And Hudson is a remarkably large part of that. And, you know, I guess you can't say remarkably because you know he's good, but we weren't sure what we were getting with him at the beginning of the season. We knew that we were getting easily like above average to very good, and we sort of resulted at very good to superior. And so, I mean, that's one of those ones you look back at that signing and you go, yep, that worked out pretty good. Worked out pretty great, really.
It's actually worked out very well.
We were saying the same thing about Mike Morris, in fairness. I will say that. You know.
Yeah, and unfortunately he's been sidelined with an oblique injury right now. And
yeah, Could have used him in Detroit. Hopefully we're going to be seeing him again soon, though.
Yeah, originally they were expecting him back tomorrow night, but I guess that might be in question now, too. So
I mean, obliques are tough.
Yeah, no, very, very tough. It's just like hamstrings. You might think that it feels better, but structurally, it's still weak, and so one wrong move, one extra hard swing, and it's right back to where it was before. You need to make sure that sucker's healed.
Right.
But you're right. We need his
especially before the especially given that there are postseason prospects. Like you can't, you know, totally blow him out now and then not have him later. But at the same time, you can't totally save him now and then not get into the postseason later. So it's this awkward balancing act that they'll have to walk.
So speaking of the playoff stretch here, they have 19 games left, and they're sitting pretty comfortable as far as the wild card race is concerned. They are 3.5 games up on Pittsburgh, who currently holds the second wild card. So if it ended today, Pittsburgh would come to San Francisco for the one-game playoff. But right behind them are Milwaukee and Atlanta, both tied, and they are 4.5 back of the Giants, one game back of Pittsburgh. So the Giants are, you know, basically as far ahead of in the wild card as they are behind in the West.
Right.
But what is to me concerning is they're in a comfortable position for the wild card as long as they play out the string very well. It's just that you have two other teams that can sneak their way in there. It's not just one other team. And so it just increases the chances of one of those teams getting hot and, you know, surpassing three other teams. And I think the Giants, to be honest, I would rather them play at home for the one game playoff. I wouldn't have said that maybe a couple of weeks ago, because they're abysmal.
When our home record was absolutely terrible, right?
But overall, it's a crapshoot home or road. So as long as the Giants secure one of those, if they can't win the West, you know, it is what it is. But they would have to lose 4.5 games to one of those other teams in order to actually lose out of the playoff or, you know, be out of the wild card picture. With 19 left, it doesn't seem extremely likely, even if they played about 500 or a couple games above 500. Most likely they'll hold on to it. No promises or anything. But I think the real kicker here is 6 games left against LA out of those 19. And even being 3.5 back now, you know, I hope they can do some damage against Arizona. They need to. You know, they're a weak team right now. They just limped out of LA. you know, they got swept, unfortunately. They couldn't help the Giants.
I was going to say, sad for us then, but potentially not sad for us now.
Yeah.
Although with our luck, it'll be like, oh, man,
well,
totally swept by the Oh, look, Gerardo Parra, the second coming of Barry Bonds again.
That's awesome. What I'm worried about, because last week when Willie and I recorded, or sorry, Eric and I recorded,
right.
I was saying that as long as the Giants can hang within three games, I would say, of the Dodgers going into that first series, they have a really good opportunity, because they take two out of three there. They're only two games back. Maybe they can shave one more game off in the series or two before the next series in LA. And if they can go into that series at one game behind or tied, they could do some damage and take the West from there. But like you said,
I mean, they can go into the game, you know, that series two games behind and potentially get to do some damage.
And they still could do that,
you know.
Yeah. But if they, you know, let's say the bad things happen and they lose two out of three to Arizona and LA takes care of San Diego, and suddenly they're going into this LA series at 5.5
slow,
or six back.
Slow tip. Yeah.
Then it's kind of like, well,
I mean, we have six games to play against the Dodgers, but yeah, if like those are the only ones we win, then we're not going anywhere.
Well, if they
so
stay within two or three, they don't have to sweep all six games. I mean, because that's just an impossible order, right? But you can win four out of six, gain two games in the standings.
Just win whichever games you don't face Kershaw, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And then, you know, maybe shave a couple games off outside of that schedule, hoping that things go your way, and suddenly you can
it's
be
It's just,
contention.
You know, the thing is, when you look at the end of the year, you have to remember that we're into division play, and the Dodgers are playing all the same terrible, crappy teams that we are.
Oh, absolutely. The schedules are almost identical.
Right.
There's nobody
that the Dodgers are looking ahead to going, well, this could be rough besides us.
Yeah, they're not playing the Nationals anymore or any of these good teams, you know, so...
Yep.
It's an even playing field, and the Dodgers have the distinct advantage right now. The only thing working for the Giants is the fact that they have those six games against the Dodgers. If they didn't, I would kiss the West chances pretty much goodbye. But the Giants really do control their own destiny right now, and if they can pull off four or five wins out of those six, they have a really, really good shot at winning the West. But again, if they go into that series five or six back, I mean, you're at the point now where you got to say you have to sweep this first series and see where we are when we go to L.A. Yeah, I mean, you can't just win two out of three and just shave one game off. And, oh, we're five down now. That's not going
to work. The Dodgers just beat the Padres 9-4.
Yeah.
I'm upset.
Kershaw got the win. I'm sure. I know he started. Yeah.
That's like the least surprising thing I feel like I'll hear all day.
Yeah, and of course, you know, Mattingly set up the rotation to have the big three face the Giants this weekend, so... But hey, you know,
as you do, you have to.
That's what you have to do. And they asked Bruce, "Well, is he going to do that?" But you know, Bumgarner's already pitching. And then I think the other two, they are going to have Vogie and Petit, I believe, in that series. Well, I mean, who else are you going to pitch? I mean, do you really feel like, I guess Peavy? You know, he's been hot lately, so maybe him over Vogelsong. Although Vogelsong was really pitching extremely well until that last game in Colorado. And again, it's Colorado, right? It's one of those things where even he was being interviewed afterwards going, hey, man, you know, just fly ball goes out of the park. What are you going to do? You know, it's just... And he didn't get hit hard till like the fourth inning. I'd say the pitching is fairly even except for Bumgarner. He's clearly the ace, but the rest of the staff has been kind of around the same.
The other four have kind of matched up.
Yeah. So I don't think there's a distinct way that Bochy could have set this up to be any better, to be honest. They don't have those big three like the Dodgers do. You know, back in the 2010, maybe 2012, they'd say, oh, yeah, you got Bumgarner, you got Lincecum,
Kane.
And you got Kane.
Yeah.
You got those three. That would be your big three.
In 2010, right, that's pretty much how that stacks out for the most part.
Exactly. So, you know.
Yeah, it's Bumgarner and then it's everybody else. But the thing is, you know, the way that they're pitching right now, everybody else goes like number three on any other team.
Yeah. And then that's
true. If not higher.
But I think it's actually good that
in Hudson's case, number two, I think.
Bumgarner's not going to match up against Kershaw in the series is the way it's lining up right now. I actually kind of like that just because even though ace against ace is kind of the sexy
appeal. Yeah, but it's just
appeal,
like, and we'll just dump this one out. You know, it's hard not to look at a game against Kershaw and go, well, so that one's over.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll play it anyway and maybe we'll get lucky because Brandon Belt plus Kershaw is always exciting.
Yeah.
Or Brett Pill Kershaw. But sadly, that's no longer an option.
No, weird things happen. I mean, the Giants definitely beat Kershaw before.
I mean,
but he has like a 1.5 lifetime ERA against the Giants. I mean, he just owns the Giants. And so you just look at that
it
and
happens.
Go, okay.
It just doesn't happen often.
Go ahead and have Petit lose that game, not Bumgarner. Let's have Bumgarner pitch game one and maybe he can, you know, kick Ryu in the face or something with a grand slam. I don't know. But Anyway, that's what they have coming up. They do have to approach these games, certainly the Dodgers games, as though they are the postseason.
I just want to see Bumgarner hit a home run off Josh Beckett. Is that too much to ask for?
That would be so just a thing of beauty.
Just whump. Okay, then.
But they can't underperform against Arizona and San Diego like they have against Colorado this year.
Agreed.
They just cannot. And, in fact, the Giants are 8-5 against Arizona this year. So it's okay. They're above 500. But in 9 of those games, they were decided by 3 runs or fewer. So most of those games have been very, very tight. And they could have gone, you know, either way. So they got to play this really tight. And if they could come away, 2 out of 3 would be nice. But I think after that Rocky series, which they technically lost 2 out of 3, I know they sort of split because of that May game. They underperformed and the bullpen blew up. But the one good thing, though, like you pointed out earlier, their offense is on fire, man. They just they're clicking on all cylinders right now, and this is something they need to that has been carrying them so far over the last
weeks. It's something that you know, you've seen some guys you weren't expecting to step up and really kind of take a hand in that. I mean, Joe Panik has to be at the top of any conversation about like guys you didn't expect to contribute to the team this year that are making a huge impact. I will say, in fairness, I was just looking at the records really quickly, and it looks like the Giants are actually 8-5 against the D-backs this year.
Yeah, 8-5.
And that could tilt in any direction very quickly, mind you. But conversely, the Giants are, 6-6 against the Pods?
Yeah.
So that one is kind of anybody's game.
Yeah, they're barely above 500 against the West. They're 9-10 against the Rockies, and they're 7-6 against the Dodgers. So they, you know, they barely own a winning record against the Dodgers. They're tied with the Padres, losing against the Rockies, and just 3 games up on the Diamondbacks. So, yeah, a few extra games against the West.
Division's been rough for us, considering that our worst. And it's sad because when you consider when our worst months were, we didn't do a lot of intra-division games during those 2 worst months. You know, we were almost everywhere. There were a few. The Rockies certainly highlighted how bad we were at the very beginning of that stretch. But that was right in the meat of things. You know, a lot of your division games are, there's some are spread in the middle, but a lot are at the beginning and a lot are at the end. We were really good at the beginning, and then we kind of went blah for a couple months, and now we're starting to right the ship again. But when you look at the way that the records turned out after that, you're like, man, I thought we were really good when we were facing a lot of these guys. That's kind of rough. And, you know, it's just one of those things that I look at it and I go, oh yeah, we're 7-6 against the Dodgers this year, and we're 9-10 against the Rockies. Baseball, man.
Baseball.
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 Baseball, man.
Yeah. You know, baseball was 1993 when the expansion Colorado Rockies, granted, expansion
right.
team,
sure,
were 0-12 against the Braves that year.
Baseball.
And, of course, the Braves beat the Giants by 1 game in the National League West. So, yeah, that was...
Let's just not talk about this right now.
I remember going down the stretch going, oh, wait, they're 0-6, they're 0-8, they're 0-10. Just win one fucking game, and the Giants can get the West. And nope.
Nope.
But, like you said, that's baseball. All right.
That's baseball.
So, one of the big questions that we have for tonight is, should Posey stay at first? Now, I'm asking this question not as a permanent one, but as a shift for the last part of the season. And what I mean by this is that clearly his bat has been in fuego, and Susak has filled in very well. And in fact, on the Saturday broadcast on Fox, they were asking Posey about, hey, has this, you know, more playing time at first base given you fresh legs? And is that responsible for your hot streak right now? And Posey, who usually plays it pretty close to the vest, he'll say things like, what the hell are you talking about? Basically that kind of attitude.
Right.
He's basically said, well, yeah, it might have something to do with it. He basically gave some credence to that. And
right.
he doubled down on that by saying, and by the way, Susak has been doing a hell of a job behind home plate. He's handling the pitching
which is
stuff
true.
Really well.
Which is true.
And he's hitting very well. And he's hitting .350 over his last 10 starts behind the dish.
Yeah. I mean, Hector Sanchez could be out of a job next year.
Yeah. So, I was
Susak
a
has
little...
been really something as a both as a starting and as a pinch hitting catcher. I mean, he's done a really nice job defensively, which is something that was originally supposed to be a concern with him,
mm-hmm.
Which you know we didn't really see. But you hear it when he's coming up through the system without really knowing what kind of context to give it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now we're seeing that not only is he at least above average defensively, if not higher, offensively he's doing fine. And it's one of those things. Susak,
no problem
is,
at all.
Yeah, and I mean, when you've got Susak in the catcher and Posey at first, you know, unless we get Brandon Belt back, which we, you know, he is cleared for baseball activities again, so we are looking at that at some point soon, and then we'll get a bit of a log jam again that we can worry about. Then we can start having the awesome, hey, what about, say, Posey at first, Belt in left, Susak at catcher, maybe we'll bring back, I don't know, Sean Estes and put him in the bullpen. And
yeah.
And wild speculation time is coming, but at the moment,
wild,
you know,
speculation, I mean, yeah, no,
wild, no speculation kidding. Time, my favorite. At the moment, the Giants are frequently better with Posey at first and Susak at catcher than they are with Posey at catcher and frequent rotating cast at first, possibly with the exception of Michael Morse.
Yeah, there's, oh. You know, with Brandon Belt, when he, I know he's cleared to perform baseball activities now, so he's basically going to throw and catch and hit and all that. I haven't read, is there any kind of timetable on if he's going to be back next week or even at all in the regular season?
On Belt?
Yeah.
I have not actually, I haven't seen either way yet. I've just been seeing the quick notes where it's just like, hey, so this person has, or this, yeah. Just like the notifications where it's like, hey, so Brandon Belt's been cleared for baseball activity. Yeah. That's been it for me so far.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I've seen. It, like you said, there's going to be a logjam if he comes back here in the last couple of weeks of the season. And it's going to be interesting what Bochy does here. But he has an expanded roster, so he has a lot of chess pieces to play with. But what's even more interesting is if the Giants do make the postseason, and I mean, you know, more than the one-game playoff, because that's whatever. What are they going to do? I mean, clearly he would be on the playoff roster. There's no doubt in my mind. But it does get trimmed back down to 25. And at that point, you got Michael Morse, assumedly, will be okay. You got, because Hector Sanchez is done for the year, I would think that Susak is your backup catcher on the roster for the playoffs because he qualifies. He was called up before the playoff roster deadline was had passed. And then what is he going to do in that situation? Because he's got to play Belt at first base, probably Morse in left. I mean, I don't think he's going to take Morse out. Put Belt in left and Posey at first so Susak can catch. I just don't anticipate that happening. So I think the playoffs are going to be a lot different than they are right now if they make it.
Yeah, well, and I mean, when you look at the playoffs and the way that the roster has started to shape up with injuries and so forth, I mean, guys who are on the DL are eligible, guys who are on the roster are eligible, guys who are on the 40, unless they're replacing somebody who are on the DL, are not eligible. So, I mean, you know, like, I think Andrew Susak should be, because he came up when Sanchez got hurt, as I recall.
Yeah.
Panic should be. He came up, obviously, before. Cordier is not, and
no.
He's throwing ridiculously hard out of the bullpen right now.
101.
Yep. Hunter Strickland is not.
Nope.
Throwing
those guys are
out of the bullpen right now.
They're the September call-ups.
Well, you know what, though? I think that depending on how he does during this month, Hunter Strickland is first in line if somebody goes down in the bullpen.
That's true. No, there is that mechanism to put guys on the playoff roster.
Sure. Like, oh, you're hurt. Also playing badly. Also definitely hurt. Damn near everybody is hurt after 162 games.
Have a third degree toenail jam. So yeah, okay, you're done.
The doctor says that you're giving all of our fans cardiac arrhythmia. So you're on the deal.
So, yeah, so Posey's been great at first. I think the long-term prospects that a lot of Giants fans have been mentioning about putting him at first or
leaving him at first
base,
permanently.
Yeah, is a little suspect because of the Belt situation. He is a first baseman. I really don't think that Belt is destined for the outfield, and I don't think that's the proper use for
him.
And
I think moving Posey to third is essentially saying that we're not
signing
up Panda again, and I think that's not a guarantee yet because, you know, he's having a rough time right now, but he has had a better year overall. It becomes a, sort of a decision whether the Giants decide that they have enough leverage to try and get him back for less or whether they don't have enough leverage and he's going to be way more expensive than they're willing to pay.
Yeah.
Or if they're just like, the hell with it, we have a better option. But I don't know that they do yet. Posey is athletic, but is he athletic enough to do the things that Pablo does at third? I don't know.
Yeah, I would say no. I think Panda definitely
he was
has.
We drafted him.
Yes.
But we've spent so much time working him as a catcher and first baseman.
Yeah.
That's more or less where I see him profiling out at this point.
Yeah. I think that's where he's just destined to be the rest of his career.
Ultimate emergency right fielder, you know.
Brandon Belt is an excellent first baseman as well as far as his defense is concerned. And if the poor guy would just not be running into this shitty luck he's been having. You know, he really was on, and no one knows.
Really, getting pegged by an errant Marco Scudero throw?
Well, like, of course Scudero's it had to be Scudero.
Sent home for the rest of the year,
it had to be Scudero.
Justice has been served.
The second base curse just was transferred to first base. I mean, I don't know what happened.
Well, that was Scudero officially handing the torch off of, haha, your turn.
Tag, you're it. I know. It was
tag
really
in the head, you're it.
You get the broken pinky or whatever from earlier in the year from the Dodger pitcher. He ends up being out 8 weeks. They said 6 to 8, and he was out 8. And then you get the Marco thing, which I guess he had a major concussion or a concussion in high school.
It was a concussion? Oh, really?
Yeah, and so now the theory is, and everyone's different. No one really knows the real answer. But the experts are very surprised that he's having these recurring concussion symptoms far long after the original injury.
Sometimes your concussion isn't much, and sometimes it's Sidney Crosby.
Yeah. You
know, sometimes you're out for almost the entire season because of a concussion. The stuff that can cause, especially because where you're being hit can dictate which parts, maybe you're knocking different parts of the brain around than somebody else who gets hit directly straight on in the front of their head or...
Well, it's like Mike Matheny, it wasn't that last concussion that it was so bad. It was that he's had so many and they're cumulative, basically. And so now they're looking back at his records and they went, oh, you had a concussion in high school. Well, there's a possibility that, because this is your second concussion, that it's... And second, that's a known. Of course, that's the other thing. A lot of players, especially younger and before this age of everybody worrying about concussions, there are many, many players who suffered multiple concussions and just never had them diagnosed. And so that's another issue as well. So he's had at least one concussion. Who knows how many he's had? But this might be the explanation for why he's having these post-concussive symptoms weeks after the initial event and after he's played and felt fine for days at a time. And then suddenly, boom, he'll be dizzy, he'll get nauseous and throw up, he'll have pain and all these weird things, which is scary because we talked about that last week as well, you and I talked about that, I think, a couple of weeks ago. We're just concerned for him as a person because it is something where even if he comes back, he could be on that precipice of, he gets one more concussion, he could be a Mike Matheny or Sidney Crosby or someone like that who, even at a... tragically young age would need to consider retirement at that point. And I know the Giants are not looking for that right now, but
I don't think they're looking for that ever.
But I think, if he was on track, I mean, no one knows what he would have done. He certainly would have had his slumps and he certainly would have had his hot spots. But I think there's little doubt in most Giants fans' minds that he finally hit a point of comfort and confidence. And he's been on this team for several years. And he started off April and May so hot that he was on that trajectory to finish at 25 home runs, 280, 100 RBI.
I think a lot of us had a feeling that belt was, all-star game bound and was going to end up being like the MVP at the postseason series. And instead, he's been the star darling of the disabled list, which is really kind of depressing.
Yeah, so next year, he comes back, plays first base. That's why I don't think Posey has anywhere else to go at this point except for his regular off days. I think he's just going to be behind the dish at least. Next year, third base is not an option for him. I think the Giants need to re-sign Pablo. They committed, they bid $60 or $61 million on that Cuban defector, and they lost out.
Carbonell?
To Boston at $67 million.
Yeah.
But they did show at least a little bit of like, okay, we're going to overpay for an unproven product. There's a lot of Cubans now have been proving themselves, and that's what they're kind of betting on. It's like futures. But at the same time, we've talked about this before. Who else do they have at third base? I mean, they're not going to put Posey there.
Yeah, I mean, you're waiting on
the system. So
at this point, we don't know that he's anywhere near Pablo's level right now. You're pretty much waiting on Mac Williamson to come back from TJ.
Yeah,
that's almost your entirety of your It feels like that's almost the entirety of the third base depth in the organization because nobody else is really talking about third baseman in the org right now. There's just not any buzz.
Pretty much. All right, so getting here.
Dear minor league third baseman, someone surprised me. I will happily accept being totally wrong
about this.
Someone
signed with the Giants and start hitting home runs, and then could be called up, and then we'll be fine. All right. So
Step A, get signed. Step B, home runs. Step 3, question mark, question mark, question mark.
Step 4,
profit.
All right, so we're going to skip to our new favorite guy, and go ahead, Ben.
Okay. I mean, our new favorite guy is hardly a surprise because he was pitcher of the month for me. I got to go with Madison Bumgarner. Bumgarner was just ridiculous. He's not like ERA of 1.67 ridiculous. Thank you, Kershaw, you glorious bastard. But Bumgarner has been far and away the best starting pitcher in the rotation, if not the best pitcher on the entire staff. I mean, he is just absolutely... Yeah, he's been ridiculous. He's been a joy to watch. He is all intensity and piss and vinegar every time he comes to the mound. And just, yeah, favorite guy. Bumgarner is not a guy that I'll actually pick often, I think, with the exception of Matt Grand Slam Gardner. That was fun. But I it's hard to go with anybody else because of how good he has been, even with the offense resurging like this.
Hey, look, we're going with the voters here because I'm going with Buster Posey. How can we not go for these guys? They're so hot right now. They're the ones carrying the team. So clearly they're new favorite guys right now. Buster Posey needs to continue his incredible streak here over the last 19 games. But these are the guys that we wanted to see all year long. I mean, if Posey was cruising at that 330 clip and at 25 home runs and 100 RBI right now, I think they'd be sitting right there with the Dodgers. So, but hey. Mm-hmm. It's never too late at this point in the season. All right, so we should hate this guy. I'm going to go with Matt Kemp because he's Matt Kemp, and he plays for the Dodgers. But I have a little soft spot for his heart, or in my heart for him, because we've seen him do those things for the underprivileged kids with giving, you know, them his shirt off his back and his cleats and
literally
that kind of thing. Cheering for Giants in the All-Star game. but this week, and I know this has been known before, but he is a major 49ers fan. And he told the media, and you can print that. So kudos to him for standing up for the football team he likes, which it really has nothing to do with the baseball team you play for. That's kind of silly.
No,
but you know, I'm sure there's...
I'll grudgingly allow it.
I'm sure there's some Dodger fans that are kind of like, well, I don't like that. Just like I'm sure we have a lot of Giants players that...
Right.
Are rooting for teams that we don't care for in other sports.
All the time.
Yeah.
Come on. We already talked to George Contos about this. His is coming to town next week.
Yes.
So
Bears. Yeah, he's always tweeting about Chicago, though. Chicago.
That's so fun. That's, you know, that just means that we're going to be mortal enemies of Eric and of George Contos for one day. And by one day, I mean like maybe 3 hours. But that's
We should stage one of those little like boxing kind of graphics and have us like, you know, do some snarling face and then Eric do the same thing. We'll Photoshop it together.
Oh man.
That'd be
Eric,
epic.
If you're listening,
then we could send that to the city graphics or whatever guy.
Just see if we can actually try and commission one out of day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
That's an idea.
I like this.
Right. Oh man. Oh, Chicago. You guys.
That's a nice town, though. I do like Chicago. Only been there once, but it's definitely a fun town.
Same on both counts. Only been there once. It is a fun town. I'm going to go ahead and preemptively hate Gerardo Parra. I was really tempted to hate Miguel Cabrera, but I can't.
Yeah.
It's like trying to hate David Ortiz.
Yeah, he's like a big
teddy bear. But they're also really likable, but you do, but they're really like... Yeah. So I'm going to preemptively hate Gerardo Parra just because he has this random habit of deciding to turn into early year Charlie Blackman whenever he faces the Giants. So I'm just going to preemptively assume that Gerardo Parra is going to be a terror and that we're either somehow going to work around it and still win or that Gerardo Parra will be the reason the world ends. That's who I'm going with for this week. And hopefully I will have been completely unfounded in my assumptions by the time we get there.
All right. So while we'll win it all, I'm going to go with, we got to sweep L.A., or win 5 out of 6. I mean, I think that's really what needs to happen. Oh, but if we have the one-game playoff, then it's going to be a crazy, epic wild card game, and it's going to go down in history as one of the best games the Giants have ever played in terms of an epic comeback, bottom of the ninth type of thing.
So, like, Hunter Pence is going to hit a ball 3 times with one swing.
Yeah, something epic like that's never happened before. It might rain, you know, or something like
that. Maybe it'll rain or something.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe Pando hit a few home runs.
He might have Zito re-signed and pitch the game of his life. I don't know.
Something completely unexpected.
And absolutely. If all fails, I think that I was hoping Willie would be here tonight, but maybe Willie will have one of his lucky Sloppy Joes at his local establishment during said games, and
maybe we'll actually get a photo and be able to put it on the Twitter account this year, like, hey, we told you, really, it happened, guys.
So maybe that
I could go with that. I'm actually gonna say why we will win it all. It's not going to be because of the guys you think. It's going to be because of Joe Panik and Andrew Susak. It's going to be because in a situation where the guys are firing well on most cylinders, we're going to have a clutch moment. We're going to need something really important, and Panik is going to get a contact hit, you know, double into the gap at AT&T. Something like that is going to happen at just the right time. And the way that we look back and we remember, like, Travis Ishikawa walks and things like, we're going to look back and we're going to remember a Joe Panik double.
Yeah, something random like that. The Cody Ross, the Juan Uribe, oh, did I say his name? And,
you know,
other Edgar Renteria.
It was in the correct context. I'm not mad at you. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Oh, speaking of Edgar Renteria.
Renteria hits a high drive, deep left center field. David Murphy going back. He's on the warning track. It is gone!
I got the warm voice cracky fuzzies. Mine did that a minute ago. I can't really talk, but...
Oh, God, I love that call.
That's never going to get old.
It never gets old. I know. I got a whole soundboard full of these, and I just love playing with them. When I'm alone in my office, just, you know, like, oh, I like that one and that one. Give me the fuzzy feelings, like you said. All right. So we have some cool stuff coming up, actually, this week. In fact, this Wednesday, the Giants will be playing Arizona in game 2 of their 3-game series. And all three of us, Willie, Ben, and myself, are going to be going to the game, but in slightly different capacities. So, Ben, you actually have a special event ticket purchased for Gamers Night, correct?
So I am currently planning to be at the pregame party for Gamers Night. Obviously that's the gaming community is something that all three of us are interested in, even though, Willie easily wins for being the most involved, and I'm terrible at Hearthstone. And will always be
too.
Terrible at Hearthstone.
I am just the worst at that game, man.
If anybody wants to hang out and talk Mass Effect, that's not always something you'll run into with the rest of us. I will totally be at Seal Plaza. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. So Willie and I are going to be attending officially as press, and so we're going to try and maybe crash that event.
Yep, I'll be around Man on the Streeting, and by that I mean Video Gamer on the Streeting, I guess, since apparently it's Video Gamer Night, not just Gamer Night, not just Video Game Night, Video Gamer Night.
Yeah, we won't try and snag or Bogart one of those figurines. That's fine, but
I will check it out because I paid for it. So, it's
but
fine.
Yeah, and you deserve
it.
But
it looks so good. It's a McFarlane figurine. It's going to be awesome.
Oh,
I'm
man,
super
it
excited.
Looks sweet, doesn't it?
I'm super excited. It looks so sweet. I mean, and I will confess that I haven't played the Assassin's Creed games, although I do own several, and they're actually coming up on my list of games I want to try out.
Right.
So I still need to play the first one and run around Rome doing assassin-y things.
Right,
I'm going to
go play in order 2, 3, 4.
If you haven't seen it yet, the costume is of Arno from the upcoming Assassin's Creed Unity game, I believe, and it's a McFarlane figurine, and as you know, Todd McFarlane figurines tend to be pretty decent quality. But it's also got the black and orange Assassin's jacket because it's in Giants colors. This is awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. No, it really is. It definitely is a crossing of our interests in our worlds.
Yeah.
And it's going to be
really
cool.
It's sort of like instant torture cast success day.
Yeah.
So we're really hoping that translates into on the field, but failing that, we're going to have some awesome stories. One of us will have a great figurine, and we will all three be at the bonusode in the evening. So, I mean, we're really looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun, and hopefully... If you are either, you know, in the area early, or if you're going to Video Gamer Night, hit us up on Twitter, and let's definitely get together, chat a little about the Giants, about games, about Hunter Pence playing things on Twitch, whatever you want to chat about, let's get together and talk.
Yeah, so if anyone has any questions out there for the players, because we have we're really excited. This is going to be first-time access. We've had access to the players before, but only in the capacity...
Right.
Yeah, only in the capacity of Media Day in February. We've done that a couple of times, and that's a very organized kind of thing. But, you know, we've gotten a lot of time. Ben, you were there with me last time, and it was pretty sweet to be able to sit down with these guys for 5 or 6 minutes at a pop. But we've never had clubhouse access. We have dugout and press box access, but not actually in the clubhouse before and after games. Mm-hmm. Well, we do for the next 2 games. And so Willie and I are going to be there Wednesday extra early because the clubhouse is open for about an hour. About 4 or 5 hours before the game, so it is an early day. But we do plan on going in there with, I'm going to need some anti-anxiety medication, I'd say. But because it is tied with Gamers Night, we really want to seek out Hunter Pence and just grill him, just I mean, in a friendly way. But
Yeah. Although, depending on how he's doing, a lot of people will want to speak to Penn, so it may take a little bit of time to really just snag the right spot. But, man...
Well, what I've been told is that...
Now that you guys have gotten to chat with him about, you know, Hearthstone at least once, I figure...
Well, that's the thing. When we were on the field there with Veronica, and Willie just blurted out about, you know, I suck at the game. I can't remember what he said, but it was something about a druid card.
I entirely missed it. But
whatever. And Hunter, oh my God, he was like a little puppy dog.
Face lit up. Hey, let me.
Oh, he turned around and he's just like, oh my God, you know about this. And so, yeah, he threw a few.
Someone in my baseball life knows about my gaming life besides the people on the other side of Twitch feed.
Yeah, exactly. So this is
in fairness, all pretty interesting, but, you know.
Yeah, very rare, you know, I'd say breed that Willie and me and Veronica sitting there were. But it was so crazy to see him not only spew all this verbiage about the game, but then go into the cage. And then come right out, and I mean make a beeline for us, and go, oh, and another thing. So I tried this other card, but this legendary doesn't work well with that one.
But let's face it, you know, what's really funny about that situation to me is that you've got, on this one side, you've got Hunter Pence, who is absolutely freaking phenomenal at baseball and is pretty good at a game like Hearthstone. And you turn around on the other side, you realize you've got Veronica and Willie, we're actually pretty freaking good at Hearthstone, Willie especially.
Yeah.
And in Willie's case, at least not bad at baseball. And you're like, this is actually a lot more, there's a lot more parody in this conversation than I think any of us thought there were before you opened your mouths.
This is
weird for me.
It was pretty intense. And so we're going to go in and hopefully have a couple minutes with Hunter to really, I mean, we're going to ask him some baseball questions. Don't get me wrong, everyone out there. But we're definitely going to hit the gamer angle because... You know, at this point of the season, I'm sure the all of the players are just, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, hitting streak. Okay, yeah, I'm comfortable. Oh, yeah, we play well here. It's just, you know, it's the same stuff over and over and over again.
Sure.
So I think someone coming in the clubhouse to talk Hearthstone or something else like that is probably going to be pretty sweet for him.
What can we say, folks? We're not necessarily a real media outlet, even though we carry news and talk about things. So
oh, no,
we're usually
still
the ones with the weird questions to shake things up, and we're proud of it.
That's what we do. We're going to just see who's there, and it may even be that Hunter Pence isn't in the clubhouse at the time, but we're going to hang out and try not to be the weird, awkward guys in there going, what do we do next?
We're totally going to be the weird, awkward guys.
We're just going
to... But it's okay, because that's hopefully why people keep listening to us, since goodness knows we're the weird, awkward guys all the time. Right, guys?
You're listening to us learning, okay? We don't know what we're doing,
man.
Pretty much.
Oh,
but
man.
So that's
Maybe
what we're doing.
Stop all of our head.
Yeah, we're going to have access to the clubhouse before the game. Hopefully, go to Gamers Night, the event with Ben, be in the press box for the game, tweeting out like mad there, and then we'll have clubhouse access after the game, so we can go back in there and ask questions, game related, of course, of the players. Maybe hit the Bochy press conference, and then we're going to do our normal bonusode, and then the next Saturday, this coming Saturday, against Los Angeles. All three of us, are going to attend the game in the press box and, again, have clubhouse access pre- and post-game. So you will be able to join our anxiety-ridden ride, filled ride.
I promise not to mention it on the podcast if I throw up.
But that'll be pretty amazing, because that will be, obviously, against the Dodgers. This will be an important series. This is probably going to be a lot more...
Oh, this will be huge.
There's
going to
be more media there. It's going to be a little more crowded. It's going to be a little more intense, I think. I think the clubhouse is going to be... a little bit more focused, and so we'll have some tough questions for them, or none at all, and ask them about their favorite food or what the clubhouse spread was today.
Right.
But
basically, it's going to be really interesting. It's definitely the beginning of a big ride for us, and it's obviously going to be a big ride for Willie and Chad. But it's definitely something that for every Giants fan is going to be a huge deal. And obviously, we're always interested in helping you guys get a little closer to the players and having you guys kind of ride along with us while we do some kind of silly, fun, awesome stuff. And if you have questions for the players, send them to us. We can't guarantee we're going to get to ask them because we don't know who we're going to have access to. But if you want to ask a question to some of the players, if you've got something on your mind, send it to us and we'll see what we can do to try and get it fit in. This is a great chance for us to kind of get a little closer to the game. And we'd really like to be able to share that with everybody who listens.
That's right. So, you know what? I didn't mention at the top of the episode, this is episode number 70, the George Kontos episode. So,
how appropriate.
Yeah.
George Kontos, Chicago man.
I'll have to talk to him about that. You know, our last podcast was named after you, and Chicago's coming. No, that's not going to be.
Let me say something really sensible.
Da Bears. All right.
And I quit. We're done. Bye.
So, you can go ahead and send in any mail to mail@torturecast.com. That is correct, isn't it, Ben?
mail@torturecast.com. mail@torturecast.com.
Okay, good. You can follow us collectively at TortureCast on Twitter. You can also follow us individually. I'm at ChadK21. Ben is at Fried Duck. And the absent Willies. He's only one person, by the way. He is not multiple people, although
it's
maybe his psychologist actually disagrees with that point. But you can follow him at Willie Dills. We're going to be going crazy on Wednesday. In less than 48 hours, we're going to be in the press box, in the clubhouse, going like mad. So please stay tuned to our Twitter and social media feeds and even YouTube and other places. It's going to be totally insane. Send us any crazy questions, any mail. Do whatever. You can find our blog at torchcast.com, where you're going to find all of our blog entries and all of our episodes posted there. We are streaming this live on YouTube as we speak for the three people watching right now. But hey, you know, it's better than none. So go ahead and all that info on when we stream and how we stream and where to find it is on torturecast.com. So for the absent Willie and for Ben, This is Chad signing off on episode number 70. Boom.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at torturecast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying we'll see you next time.